Okay, so we're thinking this evening about the question, is religion a crutch? Is it just some kind of empty comfort book for people whose lives are in a mess? Is it a way of dodging reality, of grasping at straws, of believing in fairy tales? Well, there have been many who've suggested just that in recent years, that religion is essentially for stupid, weak-minded people who need to grow a pair and look reality square on in the face. And it's not just recent criticism either. So Sigmund Freud, he of the Lie on the Couch and Tell Me About Your Mother caricature, declared religion to be wish fulfillment, the result of a desire for a father figure to lean on. It was a projection of what people wanted. It was a dream. They wanted it so much that they made it up. But you see, there are two problems with Freud's line of thinking there. Firstly, is just because we want something doesn't mean it isn't true. So I might want to be good enough at tennis to win Wimbledon. I have now accepted, somewhat reluctantly, perhaps to your surprise, that it is never going to happen, however much I might want it to. Andy Murray wanted to be good enough at tennis to win Wimbledon, and he was, twice so far. He wanted it, he dreamed of it, and he was that good. See, just because we want something doesn't mean it isn't true. I want my wife to love me. And she does. Not because I want it, but because it's true. But there's another problem with Freud's thinking as well. He argues that people want there to be a God, so they make it up. But the thing is, that can work the other way too, can't it? Perhaps Freud really wanted there not to be a God. So he convinced himself that that was true. So there's an atheist philosopher, a guy called Thomas Nagel, who recognized that that was a possibility. He said this, I want atheism to be true, and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally hope that I'm right in my belief. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. You see, it's simply not an argument to say that God cannot exist because people want him to. It doesn't prove it either way, but you can't say that because people want a God, therefore he doesn't exist. But I suspect that most of us will approach this question slightly differently to that more aggressive anti-religion idea. Well, on the idea of it doesn't really matter whether it's true or not, as long as it works. That's the key issue for most of us. So there are some people for whom life is clearly very difficult. Whether that be through ill health, or through difficult circumstances, or through personal tragedy. And if religion provides them with some comfort, some reassurance, some hope, well then who are we to argue with it? If it works for them, then great. I'm delighted for them. I understand that some people need a crutch like religion, and there's no shame in that if it makes life work for them. That's the key thing. It's just not for me. Well, that's fine, that line of thinking is fine, as long as that is all religion is. As long as it is just a means to an end, a way to deal with life. But when you come to the person of Jesus, Jesus isn't offering an option to make you feel better. He's not offering an option to make you, to soothe you when life gets tough. See, if Christianity, and that's what we're talking about this evening, not religion in general, if Christianity was supposed to be offering a way to deal with life, then it would be a pretty strange option for people to pick who are in need of what we would think of as a crutch for people who are struggling. See, let's begin with the story of Jesus himself. You can have a read through in one of the free gospels that's on your tables. Jesus collects plenty of followers, that's true. But as you read through his story, you find he also collects plenty of enemies. Most noticeably, the powerful religious establishment, who don't just oppose him verbally, but end up conspiring to have him killed. And Jesus promises that those who follow him will face similar difficulties. When he calls people to follow him, he uses the language of taking up your cross. Now there's nothing glamorous, there's nothing peaceful, there's nothing comforting about a cross. Carrying your cross is the walk of a condemned man going to his execution. Now that's hardly the fairy tale you'd make up to offer those who are weak-minded and needing comfort to escape reality. But then you see, Jesus never says it's about escaping reality. Jesus actually says quite the reverse. He says it's about facing the reality that is true for all of us. Because you see, Jesus doesn't claim to be a wise teacher who's offering advice and insight. He doesn't claim to be a guru who will show how to cope with the world. He claims to be God himself. And by doing that, he changes the game completely. He changes the game completely because when you introduce God into the equation, then I no longer become the center of the universe. See, religion can be all about creating a philosophy that will help me to cope with life. God on the scene means that he's the main man. So all of a sudden, life is no longer a question of whether I am true to myself, but whether I am true to God and how I respond to him. And you see, at that point, all of a sudden, I've got a problem. Because I've not treated God as God, and I've tried to run my life my own way. And the result is that at times I have been kind and generous and loving, but all too often I haven't. But most significantly, I've not acknowledged God, and I've not sought to love him as I should. And actually, that's not been good for me, because to know God is what I'm designed for. Now, I try to fill that gap in many and different ways. So I try and find significance in my success. But that just means I'm intimidated by the success of others. It makes me feel inadequate. Or I try and find my value and popularity by the number of likes on my latest Facebook post. But that just makes me worried when the number is not quite as high as it was last time. Or I try and find my identity in my job. But there always seems to be someone with a more interesting, more varied, more glamorous, better paid role. And all the time, I'm supposed to find all those things, significance and value and identity, in knowing God. And then alongside that, I try and ignore the reality of my failures, to love others as I should. And I try and pretend it's just part of life to let other people down. But at that point, I'm just ignoring reality. Because I'm hiding behind wishful thinking that it doesn't really matter in the end. That it's all excusable anyway. But I don't really believe that. Not deep down. And I know I don't believe that deep down because I get outraged, rightly, when I hear of injustice and suffering on the news. And I know that it matters then that there should be consequences. And I even complain that God doesn't sort it out. But I carefully ignore those same things in myself. And I ignore the reality that I need help, that I need change, that I need forgiveness. See, someone with a broken leg needs a crutch, not because they're weak-minded, but because their leg is broken. Jesus announced very early on in his time on earth that it was not the healthy who needed a doctor, but the sick. And the sickness that he spoke of was the sickness of guilt, of a broken relationship with God. And he described himself as that doctor, come to bring forgiveness. God come to bring people back to himself. See, according to Jesus' diagnosis, we're all in need of a doctor. And so that means we're now at a very different point from where we started this talk. Because Christianity, Jesus, won't let you pigeonhole him as a potential comfort to those who are finding life hard, an option to take if it works for you. Now, he says that the reality we must not run away from, the reality that we must face up to, is God himself. And that he has come to offer us forgiveness, the forgiveness we desperately need. That means this is no longer a question of whether it works for you or not, but whether it is true or not. Is Jesus who he claimed to be? Because if he's not, then you can ignore it all as one big fairy tale, which may or may not make you feel better about yourself. But if he is, then to respond to his offer is not weak-mindedness. It's dealing with reality as it is. See, people with broken legs need a crutch not because they're weak-minded, but because they need a crutch. It's not ducking reality at all. It's facing it. So the question then to leave ourselves with is, not what works, but what is true. Thanks for listening.